Edition of Mornings for the Master here on the Gospel Radio Network. I'm Richard Rutledge.
And I'm Ryan Smithy.
And we welcome you to Mornings for the Master as we study through the New Testament here in 2016, Lord willing. And we're going to be in chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians this morning. So we hope that you have your Bibles handy, maybe even a notepad that you can study along with us. If not, just listen as we go through the text this morning. Before we get started, we do have a few announcements for the bulletin board this morning. We would like to know about the things that are going on in your area or things that you are aware of that maybe we have not been made privy to. If you would shoot us an email at mornings@tgrn.org, we'll do our best to get that information out in a timely manner. But for us today, we have in the Northeast Texas area our continuation of the Summer Youth Series, Identifying with Jesus, Reclaiming Heaven's Vocabulary, tonight at the North Jefferson Congregation in Mount Pleasant, Texas. The vocabulary word will be baptism. That's what we're looking at tonight, and I'm not sure. Do you know if Chris or JJ's doing this, or do they have a guest speaker coming in?
I haven't
heard?
Yet, so.
I haven't either, so we'll be surprised, I guess, how that transpires. But it'll be tonight at 7 p.m. at the North Jefferson Church of Christ there in Mount Pleasant, Texas. If you want to give them a call, you can give them a call at 903-572-1136. And then go ahead and mark your calendars, because we've sort of mixed things up a little bit for the final event that's going to be here at the Mount Vernon congregation. It was scheduled for Monday the 22nd, but that happens to be the first day of school for some of in our area. And so we moved it to Friday. So it's going to be Friday night at 7 p.m. And our assigned word is Christian. So we're going to look at that Friday evening, Lord willing. What else do we have, Ryan?
Also, this Thursday, August the 18th, will be the last session of the North Texas Family Summer Series for those that are back in the maybe the Fort Worth area. This one will be hosted by the Granberry Street Congregation in Cleburne. I love working in the kingdom, and DJ Stuckey, that's just graduated from Southwest and working with that congregation now, will be speaking at that.
All right. And then Polishing the Pulpit starts this coming weekend. August the 19th through the 25th is the Polishing the Pulpit workshop for 2016. And I know that if you have never been, Ryan, I think this is going to be y'all's first time to attend the event. It is it's great. And it can be even overwhelming as you try to go through the sea of participants going from class to class. It is, there's so much there. They're actually having this year, I know the kids are probably going to enjoy this. Each year, over the past few years, they did life-size replicas of things, and they're going to have set up in there a New Testament village with some interactions and things that the kids can see on a scale of how that will be. So I know that, they'll enjoy that. They have so many events that are going on. They have classes for elders and church leaders. They have things that are designed for those who are working with youth, those who are working with the elderly. They have all sorts of different tracks designed, tracks for ladies-only tracks, tracks for the teens. They have VBS all through the week for the smaller children. So whatever it may be, it's not just for preachers anymore. Mm-hmm. And it's at the Sevierville Event Center in Sevierville, Tennessee. Beautiful backdrop for it, and you can actually make it a family vacation as well. Take a little time during that to go and see the scenery around there. I know that you'll enjoy that as well. But you can go to polishingthepulpit.com for more information about that event. Ryan, anything else that we have on the bulletin board?
Just a thought for my wife and for the ladies there. The 4th or 5th annual Texas Ladies in Christ Retreat is coming up. The first full weekend of October, I think that's the 6th, 7th, and 8th, and invite you to TexasLadiesInChrist.org. You can find out more information, find the registration form there, and registration is coming up around the 1st of September or so. So invite you to check that out, and they meet in Brady, Texas, right there in the heart of Central Texas. And
at the Heart of Texas Bible Camp,
That's right.
So at the Heart of Texas Bible Camp, the nice facilities for them to have this. I know they've been having it there several years and enjoying it. I know all the ladies I've spoken to that have been a part of that have really enjoyed it. So hopefully the ladies out there who are listening and men, maybe if your wife's not listening, you can pass it on to her.
Let her know about it. There you go.
And let her know about it. Well, we woke up to a blessing this morning here in Northeast Texas. We had been enjoying as much as can be said. I guess Ryan has enjoyed it a little more than others since he likes the hot weather. But, you know, those 100-degree temperatures that we have. And now right in the middle of August, we got a blessing of forecasted highs throughout the week below 90. And we woke up to rain, which we really needed. And I hope that you are enjoying some good weather, as far as we consider it. It's good weather here in Northeast Texas. And have a great morning going. We're going to start here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 in just a moment. Before we do, we're going to take just a quick break, so stay with us.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus.
Good morning and welcome back to Mornings for the Master here on the Gospel Radio Network. We're glad that you've taken this opportunity to join us today as we study through 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And don't forget, if you have gotten behind, unable to be with us on a regular daily basis, all you have to do is go back to the on-demand section of the webpage, click on it, find the Mornings for the Master icon, and then from there, select those chapters that you may have missed in the study, catch back up, and then we'll be here when you get back. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and as we do, Paul's going to continue this defense of his apostleship, something he's already had to do and he continues to do. You know, as it starts out, it just says, "It is doubtless not profitable for me to boast, but I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord." And so he's having to defend this, the fact that he is apostle. It's almost as though he's having to boast. He's having to bring out all these credentials and all these things that prove this. And I wonder why at times, Ryan, why is it the fact that now in this second epistle that he's having to defend his apostleship? And then I look back at the first epistle. And could it be, you know, when hard things are having to be said, sometimes individuals have difficulty with the things that are told them. And what do? They can't attack necessarily what was being said because, wait a minute, especially nowadays, let's say a preacher teaches on something that is scriptural. Right. He teaches truth on it. Well, I can't attack that because the Bible plainly teaches it. So what do? They start trying to undermine the messenger.
Right.
Could it have been that from 1 Corinthians? You know, I mean, there was a lot of hard things that had to be brought out in that first epistle with this congregation. I look at the congregation from 2 Corinthians that, for the most part, they were a congregation who had made great effort mm-hmm. to correct some of those problems that he had pointed out before. So there was that willingness, but within, you know, any group of people, there are going to be those. So now he's having to defend this, and he doesn't like this idea of boasting, you know, to bring these things up, and he doesn't like it, but he's going to do it because it's needful for them. And so in this, he's going to bring out this inspiration. He's now going to include visions and revelations as proof of his apostleship, that it is inspired by God, you know, that God has given him these things. So when we look at it, he's going to bring out in this verses 2 through 5 this vision. Now let's notice those verses there, verses 2 through 5 of 2 Corinthians.
"I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or whether out of the body I do not know, God knows. Such a one was caught up into the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I do not know, God knows. How he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast, except in my infirmities."
Now, when this vision here that he talks about, he says, "I know a man of Christ who 14 years ago." Now, and when we try to picture these events and the things that are going on here, it's almost vague. And in the experience, he says, whether it was in the body or not in the body, God knows. You know, whether in the body or not in the body, he says, "I do not know, God knows." He mentions that twice, you know, how this transpired as far as this, you know, was it a vision that took place without the physical? Was it physical? You know, he's just saying, I do not know, but God knows. And who is this man that he's talking about in Christ 14 years ago? Well, most believe that he's referring to himself in such a way because he says, "Now I'm going to boast of these visions." So, you know, here he is, but he hadn't really spoken about it to anyone or to them about up to this point. And so he brings it out. And, you know, it may even for them in their minds bring to mind Enoch or Elijah as they were carried up, you know, Enoch not dying, carried up into heaven. You know, Elijah, he was carried up as well. But now what does he say? He says, I was carried into the third heaven, or this man was carried into the third heaven. What is the third heaven? Now, there are some who would like to believe that it has reference to the Jewish view of the seventh heaven. But, you know, if you think about it, just even from the viewpoint of many of the time and just a logical conclusion, the third heaven, the first heaven, the atmosphere that we live in here, that we, you know, that we breathe and those such things, the second heaven, the realm of the sun and moon and stars, the universe, and then the abode of God, the third heaven. And so now he was called up into this third heaven. And when we compare that, because notice what it says. It says that it was the third, I was called up into the third heaven and called up into paradise. Mm-hmm. So we have to link these two together, this realm, wherever he was caught up into, as the same. Because, you know, these two statements are almost parallel. Whether out of body, I do not know. God knows. Such one was caught up into the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows, for how he was caught up into paradise. So he was caught up into the third heaven, into paradise. And that word paradise is the same word that Jesus uses in Luke 23, verse 43, when Jesus said unto him, verily I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise. The other place that word is used is in the book of Revelation. And it says there in Revelation 2 and verse 7, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcomes, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Mm-hmm. And so there's three places that word, that same Greek word, is used in the scripture, where he was called up to, into paradise, where Jesus said that he would be, a realm that was under the care of God, because when Jesus told the thief, today you will be with me in paradise, in verse 46, Jesus says he committed his soul to God. Mm-hmm. So wherever paradise was, it is that which is under God's care, and there he was going. Now, literally, it just means a beautiful park. That's what paradise means. It means a beautiful park, has the imagery even of Eden's park, of Eden, and takes us back to that. Well, of course, because what was in the Garden of Eden but the Tree of Life in Revelation 2 and verse 7, now where is it but in the paradise of God? Mm-hmm. And so he has been carried to this place, the third heaven, into paradise. But while he is there, he hears some things. And it says that he heard inexpressible words, which it is not lawful for man to utter. He had heard things, heard things declared that God spoke directed to him, or that God had directed to be spoken to him, but he heard these things. And it wasn't that it was unspeakable. In other words, he couldn't say them. But notice what he says. He was not allowed to. It was unlawful for him to speak these things again. But he said, I'm not going to boast. Of such a one I will boast. Yet not of myself. Of myself I will not boast, except in my infirmities. He says, you know, now it happened. I'm going to tell you that this happened, but not to build me up. I'm not doing this to so that you can elevate me. Because what does he have? He still has all of these infirmities that man has that he should not boast. And so, you know, he points these things out. But now, notice as it continues on, you know, and he brings that out in verse 6. He says, "For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth, but I forbear, lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me." And so he says, you know, I might have desire to boast, and easily so, especially if somebody is, you know, questioning his apostleship, his authority in Christ that he has. And you really want to just pull that card out and go, boom, there it is. You know, if anyone can say these things, I can. You know, who are you to question this? But he's not going to do that. He's not going to boast. I have, may have this desire, but I'm not going to be a fool.
I think we can see in Paul that same attitude that we probably, to some degree, all struggle with, but that idea of boasting up ourselves and lifting up ourselves and wanting to brag of things. And yet you see that struggle with him. You know, there is that, I really don't want to talk about these things. It's needful. But what I do want you to learn of me is the work that I've done. The things that I've, what you've seen of me, what you heard of me, and so those actions, the work of the apostle, the teaching of the apostle, he's a glory in that, and yet even in these letters to the Corinthians, he's going to remind them, but what is that? It's just service to the king.
and that's it. I mean, what is it? We've done that which was our duty to do. You know, I mean, even if, you know, any of those things, you know, he basically says the same things, you know, that a man ought not to think, you know, more highly of him than he ought. Romans 12 and verse number 3, or even, you know, a man take heed lest he fall, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12, you know, that idea as well. I'm not going to boast about these things. I could. I'm not. And, you know, temp